Okay.
Be very, very quiet.
Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
Ustream, Facebook, hey, what's going on? We're live here on Board Wrestling Fan Radio. It's weird not being on Mixlr. We're elsewhere now. And hopefully people will find us. We are on Ustream. You can chat along with us on Ustream. It is I Think So Joe along with G and JT. And this show is Board Wrestling Fan Radio, episode number 75. George, not feeling well today. Not here. Neither is Brian nor anybody else. Which means we might actually get a decently short show today and get everything in. And I mean everything, like even the Raw review and everything that we haven't been getting in. Just in time for me to start reviewing it.
Shy Tiffany wants to connect with me on Skype. I wonder if that's a legit profile.
It could be. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you should click on it and find out.
You could be besties.
You guys could. Yes.
Oh my. It's the weekend of death.
Oh my god. It's a terrible, it's been a long weekend, man. It's like Sunday and I'm exhausted. I woke up at like noon. I'm like, oh shit, I still gotta pick songs for Think Metal. And I just winged it.
I can't wake up at noon. If I wake up at noon, the show's on the air.
Well, that's because you're all the way out in, you know, Calgary.
I know.
Alberta, Canada.
One of the reasons I always delay this show by a couple minutes, folks. I wake up late, I have things to do, and then I realize, oh, snap.
It's 2:02 p.m. Eastern. We are 2 minutes into the show. We started on time relatively today.
Well, there's another reason why G's late, but we'll get to that later in the new segment.
I'm sure.
Jeez. Ooh, mysteries.
Yeah, mysteries. No, George. George, not feeling well. We were supposed
to. He's in my basement.
Is that what happened? You just told him to tell me that he's lightheaded and dizzy and thinking of going to the ER? Or are you operating a cheap emergency room out of your basement?
Oh, of course. It's Canada, you know, free healthcare. So
George flew to Calgary to get G to give him healthcare.
What we do in Canada, not all of us are doctors, you know.
You need like 1 year of university.
Well, it's actually, if you get your grade 3, you're basically a doctor in Canada. In grade 4, you're like beyond a doctor. You're like a superhero. Pretty awesome. You guys all move up to Canada. It's really awesome.
I haven't read the SmackDown review yet, but I'm looking forward to it because the 10 minutes of SmackDown I saw was Damian Sandow insulting substitute teachers. So yeah. I'm very interested to see your take on that.
I took it with a grain of salt. I know the stereotypes. Ooh, fourth wall, people. What could that mean?
I hope people start following us over on Ustream. We're here. We're live. We have no viewers. Reitman's probably looking for us. I tweeted him. I told him where we're at, so hopefully he'll make it. And if you do get over to Ustream, you can chat with us on our social stream. Or at least with me. I don't know about the rest of these guys.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know about it's going to be with me, because every time I refresh it, it plays a commercial. So.
Of course.
Sorry, Reitman. I won't be in there reading your if you're on today, I won't be reading your comments.
I did tell you, people are still waiting for us to start, I think. I think they're all like, hey, you know what, they never start on time. We're going to come in a little bit later and start yapping away with them. Yeah, I warned you last week about the ads.
Yeah, I knew about the ads. It's just...
I did post on boardwrestlingfan.com what you could do about the ads.
Yeah, I know.
You can pay and you don't have to watch ads.
I'm not
going to
pay.
You know they want like $100 a month? For us to not have ads in our show. I'm not paying that. I'm sorry. If anybody wants to, you know, not follow my instructions and want to watch the ads, then that's, you know, they can watch the ads. Oh, we have one viewer.
That'd be me. I just went back on.
Sounds good to me.
That's weird. Figured out you could mute the commercials too. I showed I can mute the commercials, so
yeah. So
what didn't happen this week? Did anybody even remotely besides me watch more than an hour of wrestling? That is with two programs.
Only because I had to watch Raw.
Sucker.
If I had my choice, I honestly probably would have only watched NXT, which I was starting to review, and then I got tired, so I like stopped. And then I was like, I'm gonna do it tomorrow. And then when I got to work the next day, they took my desk. So I had like no desk to put my computer on while I was watching NXT to actually, you know, type the review. So I'm hoping that's remedied by the time I get to work tonight.
Is Cesaro like the champion down there or something?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw him on NXT and I said somebody, a former champion, is now the NXT champion.
No. No,
that episode hasn't aired yet.
Spoil it. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it.
NXT was the best program in wrestling this week.
Oh, of course.
If you ask me.
I did find out who the new NXT champion is, and I did have a little Twitter interaction with our dear friend Al Creed with regards to the new NXT champion, but I did not post any spoilers, neither did he, but I'm sure if you read through some of the conversation that Al and I had, you would see that you would figure it out quite easily.
Well, main event was quite good, too, and the thing is it was headlined by fucking the Usos versus three-man band, and they really put on a good match.
I think I caught the first match of main event. I think. I don't know. My week's been a blur, man.
That wasn't too shabby, but definitely like the Usos versus three man band was like Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre. They really put on a good show between the two.
Yeah, my week's a blur right now. I don't even remember what I watched on Monday, and I reviewed the damn show. which means we should probably talk about the damn show.
Well, I'd like to ask you guys, I don't know about JT, I know Joe, how did you like the pay-per-view?
Oh, the pay-per-view I didn't mind. I honestly like the pay-per-view, particularly being a Shield fan along with George, and we were celebrating, you know, jumping around and yelling and screaming at the top of our lungs when the Shield took all the titles, the U.S. and tag team titles, of course. The non-finish in the Cena and Ryback match was kind of like iffy to me, because it's like, okay, wait a minute, you know, I get that you can do a no contest in a last man standing match because it's been done before. You just count both guys down, but he didn't do that. He's just like, oh shit, what do I do? Let's get medics over here.
They also set a precedent too, because Ryback actually stood up first, even though he was helped. So I guess that means, even though they didn't address it particularly, I noticed that happen. Of course, I paid for the pay-per-view, people.
We noticed it happen, too. We're sitting here like, wait a minute, Ryback's up. Doesn't that make him the champion? And why isn't the referee counting?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. I was chatting in a different Facebook group that a bunch of us smarks hang out with on occasion. And
The other thing I didn't particularly care for on the pay-per-view was the instant replay.
If this was to be introduced as a consistent ongoing thing from here on in, that would have been okay.
Yeah,
I would accept it. I would say, all right, you're adding a new rule. You're you know, modifying pro wrestling towards modern day sports. It's like, you know, and instant replays are controversial in all sports, and I get that. And I would have accepted it if they established it that way, but they didn't. They just kind of brushed it off as a thing.
The next night on Raw, there was some nefarious tactics used to win a match, and the referee didn't check instant replay or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, did they get the call down from? Did they get the call down from Toronto? Is that what happened?
They totally, you know, cock blocked Toronto, and that. I mean, most of us Canadians kind of hate Toronto, but except for people in Toronto. They don't even realize we exist, though. That's kind of the reason why. But nonetheless, That's exactly that.
I'm referring, of course, to the War Room in Toronto, the NHL, yes. Where they review all the every single goal from every single game.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if JT you've caught any of the pay-per-view, but I'm sure you must have heard about the instant replay thing. Do you have any thoughts on that at all? Because I think that is a bit of an issue that is worth at least a bit of a discussion.
Whatever. They don't show us the replays enough anyway, so
right.
That doesn't really. And I would think, I don't know, and I've never been to a live show where, you know, I've been to live events, but you know, you don't have the screen, but I would assume that they show the replays on the screen anyway for the people. I don't get it.
I get that they show the replays on the big on the big, you know, TitanTron or whatever they call it these days, but you know, the referee actually went over to the timekeeper, like, let me see the replay.
Yeah.
And the timekeeper is like, sure, here's the replay. Like, all of a sudden, the timekeeper controls the replays, and, you know, there's instant replay in WWE, which, of course, JBL was complaining about the entire time, rightfully so, because there is no instant replay in pro wrestling, not
we
yet.
We fight at pay-per-view.
Yeah, I guess. We fight on Sunday night.
We fight and then we download the app.
That's right.
No, that's Monday night. You download the app.
Yeah. I went to the other website and someone was like, the green teabagger was boasting on how he called Ambrose winning the U.S. title. I'm like, well, who didn't?
Yeah. I called it on last Sunday. I said transitional champion.
Everybody called it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
If you listen to our episode, we did all predict that they would go over.
And then JG James Gutman all quoted my thing saying, yeah, I think Kofi even was pulling for Ambrose in that match.
Yeah.
Leave it the Shield.
Hey, speaking of the other site, Mike Rickard has been messaging me. He's around. glad to hear from him, the author, of course, of the great book Wrestling's Greatest Moments, which I happen to have an autographed copy of here in the studio. glad to hear from Mike he's doing well and out of where he was. We'll leave it at that. But you know,
parts unknown,
we'll go with that. That sounds about right.
He was handling the divorce proceedings between Undertaker's mother and father.
Yeah. Mikey Birdman, attorney at law. I'll take the case. So, Raw happened. I reviewed it. I should know. I don't remember what happened.
You're like me now.
I'm starting to become like G.
Join us. One of us.
I shall read the Raw review to you. I think from here on out, I think what we should do, while I'm reviewing Raw, is we should all read our own reviews. And I guess if George is in the SmackDown review, I'm playing his role this week.
He is.
All right. Okay, here's the Raw review. Oh, shit, am I doing this again? It is I think so, Joe, filling in for Reitman while he takes care of some family issues, and on behalf of all of us at Board Wrestling Fan, I wish him and his family well, but after the last 2 weeks of Raw, I'm not exactly thrilled with actually having to watch the show, especially since I saw the first 30 minutes and it's already made me decide not to order WWE Payback. Screw it, let's go! I watch 30 minutes of Raw, leave for work, avoid spoilers like and from The Plague, and then watch the entire show when I get here. That's how Think So Joe's Raw reviews work. Also, I play by my own rules. Screw you, SmackDown review.
Hey.
Ambulance pulls up in an arena. Ryback comes out and complains. He challenges John Cena to an ambulance match at WWE Payback. Then he threatens to kill the audience. I'm not making this up. Apparently, nobody in WWE understands that there has never been a good or even halfway decent ambulance match. Up next, it's Jericho and The Miz versus Wade Barrett and Fandango.
Give a shit.
Get your movie tickets online and then da 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 da. Chris Jericho and The Miz versus defeated Wade Barrett and Fandango with Summer Rae. I don't feel like watching this again. That's The Miz's fault. Here's what you need to know. Barrett has new entrance music. Fandango and Chicken Woman decided to dance on the outside of the ring instead of competing, and Barrett tapped out to the Miz Can't Figure It Out 4. Jericho and Miz chased off Fandango, who appeared to knock down a fan on his way through the crowd. Then Jericho danced with Summer Rae before denying her a kiss, and Michael Cole shielded the app during the match, where Road Dogg said he could beat Fandango.
Chicken Woman.
Later on tonight, the stuff you paid for on pay-per-view last night! Plus, we find out who Paul Heyman's newest client is. Download the app. Don't forget, the WWE app is available to download, so you can watch the stuff while all the main shows are on.
Text ROH, you can get a picture of this week's ROH star.
George's favorite, Vicky Guerrero, excuses herself as managing supervisor of Raw. Later tonight, Jack Swagger will compete in a match, and anybody who has downloaded the app will be eligible to vote for his opponent. Your choices are the mediocre Kali, R-Truth, and Randall Keith Orton. I'm not sure who to vote for. What say you, Richard Pryor? None of the above. Brewster Smillions is an amazing movie. Buy it from the link in the article. JBL!
I want to buy an iceberg.
Huh?
I said, I want to buy an iceberg. We don't have enough of those in Canada.
JBL, Michael Cole, and Jerry Lawler babble about the app. Then they talk about the only thing worth talking about, aside from who the other Paul Heyman guy could be, on tonight's show, The Shield, who captured the U.S. and tag team titles Sunday night. Backstage, Daniel Bryan is upset. He's not the tag team champions. Kane isn't the tag team champions. Kane says the negativity is not productive. I feel naked without the title, says Bryan. You're not wearing a shirt. Or pants, says Kane. Kane is confident and Bryan should be too because they have the rematch. They can't show weakness because the Shield prey on it. Bryan says he's not the weak link. Kofi Kingston shows up and Bryan walks away. Sheamus is up next, but he gets to stand around in the ring while we go to commercial. I'm sure it's a commercial for Sonic. They've been shilling that place all night. And this blue hedgehog sells milkshakes for half price after 8 p.m., apparently. Have you downloaded the app yet? You should download the app. The app will be useful when they allow us to vote on whether or not Michael Cole should mention the app or not. You know what app you should get? The Ustream app, since that's where BWF Radio will be broadcasting starting today. You should get an ad. You should also get an ad blocker. We will have more details later this week. You can read them on the WWE app. Okay, not really.
I read that on the app.
Oh, it was on the app. Okay.
Yeah, everything's on the app. Get the app, damn it.
Yeah, you can even play Simpsons Tapped Out through the app.
Pretty awesome.
Yes.
I visited dead relatives on the app once.
Sheamus. He's still standing around in the ring. He wrestled last night. He won. You should already know
Shocker.
That. Then on the app, Mark Henry said he was going home. Titus O'Neil probably downloaded a whistle app. And Darren Young has an Afro Pick app. O'Neil apparently badmouthed Sheamus on the app last night. So here we go. Sheamus versus.
I wonder who's winning this match.
Sheamus versus Titus O'Neil with Darren Young.
Jerry wins. App wins. Back out, King. App wins.
Jerry Lawler reveals his middle name to be O'Neil. He hasn't mentioned this before. Apparently, because Titus never wrestled Sheamus before. Because O'Neil's an Irish last name, you see. That's the running gag at the start of this match. The match isn't half bad, but then Cole had to say that we'd find out Paul Heyman's new client next. So hurry up a job, Titus. Titus actually gets to show off his powers. He maintains offense for most of this match. Darren Young stops Sheamus from slingshotting himself into the ring, and Titus scores a 2. Sheamus finally hits White Noise, brogue kick, and it's done. Up next, we find out Paul Heyman's newest client, but me, I'm a Brian DeVille guy.
Yep.
Randall Keith Orton stars in 12 rounds to Reloaded. If I were the bad guy in the movie, the first round would be for Orton to get a personality. He'd never win. Kevin Jonas is our special social media ambassador for the night. Follow him on Twitter with one device while watching the WWE app on another while watching Raw on your television. Paul Heyman is introduced and booed. He's not surprised. When it's a Paul Heyman guy who exposes their heroes, he catches the wrath of their boos. He invites them to boo all they want. What does it feel like to be powerless? Their boos will never change the fact that Brock Lesnar defeated Triple H in a steel cage match. Today, while Paul stands before you, Lesnar is enjoying the spoils of war with Triple H tucked in his sledgehammer between his legs and ran back home to mommy. Now that Brock has fulfilled his obligations to WWE, what's Paul Heyman going to talk about now? He says that it's time for something new and different. It's time to give you, out of his generosity, that moment in time where you set your DVRs and play this back 10 years from now. It's a SportsCenter moment, a YouTube clip that says that's the moment in that history took a left turn. Paul Heyman stands before you this evening and he gives to you the newest Paul Heyman guy, Curtis Axel.
Listen to Brock Lesnar's response on the WWE app.
Yeah. Curtis Axel. Dude, that's Michael McGillicuddy. They can't give him his real name, but they can give him a remix of his father's theme song? The fuck? Paul thanks the audience for proving him right again, because the same reaction he told his new client to expect. It's the same reaction they gave Brock Lesnar in 2002. It's the same reaction they gave him in 2006 in the new ECW when he gave them CM Punk. Paul ponders why Axel isn't a main event star already. He may be a third-generation star, but he wants to carve his own legacy. We have given him his father's name, Kurt, and paid tribute to his grandfather, Larry the Axe Henning, and have bestowed upon him the name of Curtis Axel. It's time to play the game!
It's time to bury new talent!
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Paul seems amused by the arrival of Triple H. Axel tries to interrupt Triple H, who tells him the adults are having a conversation. Triple H isn't embarrassed about last night. He went to war with Brock Lesnar, and Lesnar beat him. He didn't just walk away, though. He limped away. Triple H would be really happy to come out, and just because he can, beat the crap out of Heyman. Axel gets in Triple H's face. He says the game has changed. You want to talk to Paul? Talk to Axel first. Triple H then smiles and knocks Axel down with a slap. Triple H said he's going to have a match with Axel tonight, and when he's done kicking Axel's ass, he's going to kick Paul Heyman's. And if I felt like photoshopping, I'd take this picture of Jamie Lee Curtis and put Axl Rose's hair on it or something. But I'm lazy, so download the app. WWE Sonic Shakedown. Alberto Del Rio assaults Jack Swagger last week and takes up Big E Langston instead. Ricardo, he's here to introduce Alberto I don't have George here to smack me in the back of the head this week. Del Rio! Yawn. Last night, the referee used instant replay to reverse his decision. If we retroactively applied that to WWE, CM Punk would be WWE champion and the Bellas would have never won a match. Del Rio is facing Big E Langston. Gee, didn't see that coming. Curtis Axel is trending worldwide. Del Rio gets the arm breaker on, but Langston fights his way out. He gets it back on the outside of the ring, but Langston swings Del Rio into the ring post. Ouch. AJ tosses Ricardo's bucket across the ring. Big E thumbs Del Rio in the eye, hits the big ending, and it's over. Unless they decide to use instant replay again, which, why the fuck not? Download the app.
You can watch people, you can watch superstars watching the matches on the WWE app.
Earlier in the night, Ryback showed up in an ambulance and threatened everybody. Also sold everybody on whatever else is going on the night of WWE Payback. Later in the night, The Shield faced Kofi Kingston and Team Hell No in a six-man tag, and Triple H takes on Curtis Axel. And Tully has something to say.
Gully, I'm sorry for jumping in the ring at Extreme Rules last night. I thought Jack Swagger had some pot. We were going to get a little high.
Layla is in the ring. AJ is too. We relived last night at Extreme Rules when AJ successfully petitioned to get her non-existent match pulled from the card, then brawled with Caitlyn backstage. AJ nails two neckbreakers. You can watch the Bellas watch this match backstage if you download the WWE app. Layla face-tastically mocks AJ, then gets locked in the Black Widow and taps out by spanking AJ. Download the app and vote for Kali, Truth, or Orton to face Swagger. You can still vote, right? I mean, I know Raw is over, but everything they tell us to do on the app is still relevant, isn't it? Time does not exist. Ring entrances don't exist either, because as soon as we get back, it's Zack Ryder versus Cody Rhodes. Watch Ryback watch this match right now on the WWE app. Relevance! What did Cody do that Ryder's actually getting some offense in? Disaster kick, done. Zack doubled his time this week, 2 minutes, 32.4 seconds. Ryback is on his way out. Rhodes bails. Ryder eats the meat hook clothesline, then a powerbomb. I'd be impressed if he was doing this to the guy that they wouldn't have me bury if I worked for WWE. Shell-shocked, then Ryback throws Ryder into the ambulance. Whoopity-doo. Next up, the one thing that might actually make this show entertaining, The Shield. Last night, The Shield won the United States and Tag Team Championships. They carry their new titles through the crowd to the ring, and they get mic time. They introduced themselves, they brought power back to their titles. Kingston and Hell No didn't believe, The Rock didn't believe, and he got beaten so badly that not only did he lose his title, he had to get surgery. Undertaker didn't believe, and now you'll never see him again. Ryback was broken down so bad that he snapped and went after John Cena, and the reason Cena got carted off is because of The Shield. All have fallen to the swift arm of justice. Rollins says that justice can see just fine, and all of you can see what a cohesive unit looks like. You can see the meaning of unbreakable. You can see the future. The scary part is that this is just the beginning. Rain says that the ending stays the same. You put them in front of the shield and they'll be taken out. The shield run the yard and carry the collars to back it up. Believe the shield! Team Hell No are out first for their team before the break.
Watch their entrance on the WWE app.
Yes, you probably could. Kingston is in the ring and we're ready to go. The Shield versus Kofi Kingston and Team Hell No. I'm tired. I don't feel like covering this. I do feel like kicking back and enjoying the team whose theme song is my ringtone in action. Download the app and watch it for yourself. For what it's worth, Caitlyn is now the longest reigning current champion in WWE. To counterpoint commentary, a lengthy tag team title reign in this day and age doesn't necessarily put you in the same vein as great teams in history, since Team Hell No hadn't really defended the titles much. The Shield dominate and Rollins mocks Kingston, which allows Kingston to tag in Bryan, who uses his speed to turn momentum in his team's favor. The match actually gets a few segments. It's worth watching, unlike most of multi-segment matches WWE tries to force feed us. Jerry Lawler says he hated getting beat up, but he hated getting talked to when it was happening even more. Jerry Lawler, a guy who used to bring his own microphone into the ring to commentate on his own matches. Anyways, I digress. Things get chaotic, and for once, it doesn't seem to benefit the Shield. It's Kane and Roman Reigns alone in the ring. Rollins and Ambrose turn the tide on Bryan and Kingston on the outside. Kane holds his own, but the numbers game catches up with him. Reigns spears Kane, and the Shield are once again victorious. Believe in the app! I mean, the Shield! Earlier tonight, Michael McGillicuddy changed his name to Curtis Axel, then Triple H came out with his shovel and promised to bury him later tonight. The trainer tells Triple H he can't compete tonight. Triple H says that if the doctor doesn't like the fact that Triple H is wrestling tonight, he can find a new job. You like the animated GIF there? Triple H shoveling dirt into a grave, a typical day at the office for the new WWE COO.
I thought that was sweet tea. Oh, well.
Caitlin is backstage, and she has her secret admirer's phone number, but still doesn't know who it is. Cody Rhodes is texting. Natalya attacks him, and Caitlin grabs his phone. Cody is not the secret admirer, apparently. Jack Swagger is here, and he's going to face whoever won the poll on the WWE app. Did you download the app? Did you vote with the app? You know, sometimes you can be annoying, Michael Cole, says JBL. What an understatement. Orton got 72% of the vote, as if I wasn't having a hard enough time staying awake. Team Alpha, go! Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Yeah, well, like, they didn't obviously rig that freaking so he get that much of a vote.
It's not like he had great competition.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't obviously give you
Randy Orton versus Jack Swagger. No, I can't do it. Fast forward. Orton wins. I'm sure it was an RKO out of nowhere. Just don't care.
He won? That's a surprise.
We get a replay of Ryback challenging Cena to an ambulance match earlier, then throwing Ryder in the back of an ambulance. Up next, it's Triple H versus Curtis Axel, whatever the hell his name is. Nexus never happened, and of course that means new Nexus never happened either, right, Curtis Axel? Sometime in the last hour or so, they fixed the video wall for Curtis Axel, because when he first came out, it said Kurt Axel. Good job, production team. For what it's worth, Triple H got the first entrance. Triple H turns his attention to Paul Heyman every time he seems to have control over Axel. Meanwhile, I'm struggling to stay awake. 3 hours is far too long. 5 minutes left. Triple H nails a spine buster but can't capitalize. He seems to be a bit loopy from last night's match. Axel nails Triple H in the head outside the ring, and Triple H can't follow him back in. He sits in a chair ringside with the trainer. Hunter gets some water and attempts to get back in, but can't seem to do it. Trainer checks him again. They tell the referee Triple H can't continue. Triple H tries to get back up and falls down. The fans cheer loudly for Triple H, which I'm sure is good for him if he has a concussion or something. And we fade to black. Well, the Shield won. That's a plus. I'm highly disappointed that the new Paul Heyman guy is Michael McGillicuddy with a new name, and a name that isn't his real name of Joe Hennig at that. I'm interested to find out what the diagnosis of Triple H is going to be as far as the falling down and ringside storyline is concerned, but not really. I don't know. Really crappy show. Again, good night. I was sitting with a friend of mine on the bus on Wednesday, and we were talking about Monday Night Raw, and we were talking about the end. And he says, I like how Triple H, you know, asked for water and then he poured it all over his head. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, that's not how you drink water, Triple H. I said, dude, you really expect Triple H to know how to drink water? Have you been watching this guy for the past 20 years? All he does is spit it out.
I think he was just trying to stay awake. I mean, 3 hours. Come on. That's...
Yeah, that's what it was. He was falling asleep at ringside. He didn't have a concussion. But yeah, that the crowd's like real loud and cheering for him real loud, and he's like got a concussion. Yeah, I'm sure that helps. Yeah. Oh boy. But yeah, that was Raw. That was fun.
There were moments, but it's like we've been bitching and moaning about, and I'm not going to, you know, make myself exempt on this. It's literally that. It's just too fucking long.
And I have to do it all over again tomorrow.
Aha. Uh-huh. I'll end up watching it myself, but
can I just hire somebody while Reitman's out? boy. What else happened this week? Let's see. There's this show called Main Event, and yes, a certain somebody wrote a review.
Well, it's not really a review; it's three salts. I didn't do any spectacular scene beforehand. I had an idea, but we'll get to that later in the show. I wasn't feeling that creative because I did have a small idea, but like I said, when we get to the news, you'll find out where I was going to go with it. So basically, we get the Raw recap where Big E Langston defeated Alberto Del Rio to set up tonight's main event, which basically Alberto Del Rio got his win back. It was a good match. Then we got a Raw recap with Extreme Rules results. Ryback challenges Cena to an ambulance match, and somewhere in Antarctica, someone just might care. And the match of the night, which, like I said, this is one you guys should try and watch, is the Usos defeated three-man band, which is Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre, which was a really good match. They both showcased well. They got about 20, 30 minutes. Between 20 and 30 minutes. It wasn't like a five-minute match, but it just spot-fested. So I would really suggest you watch it. The only thing that sucked about it is that Ryback came out, beat up Heath Slater and kidnapped him and threw him in the ambulance and drove off, which for some reason didn't really make any point. And the final segment was Triple H versus Kurt Axel Rose, ending in Triple H having a concussion or something. I don't watch Raw, I don't care. And overall, for a very predictable episode, this week was really good. Yeah, Cole and Miz were abysmal on commentary like they always are. But for some reason, I think I'm learning how to tune them out. Because it just they didn't really bother me as much, but I just wasn't paying that much attention to the commentary. I was just watching them. I didn't have it on mute, so. But that was it. And that's another thing. That for as much as they promote the app on Raw, they didn't mention the WWE app once during the program.
You want to switch reviews with me?
Nope.
I didn't think so. You know, you got Ryback abducting people every week and throwing them in the back of the on every show. So you just like if you do it every show until like Payback, and then the Sunday the day before Payback, the Saturday, you all of a sudden you see WWE has come to terms on the release of Zack Ryder, Heath Slater, and everybody else. Ryback abducts.
I don't know if did you see that CNG what I posted on was it Wednesday night that MasterChef returned. Because hour or two, they basically recapped everything you just saw, and I put it on Facebook. I'm like, oh, MasterChef recaps everything we just saw. Well, at least there's no stupid app that they're trying to shill.
I did see that, actually.
I know you saw it, but I didn't know if G saw it.
No, I missed that. I probably was at work when you put that up. I don't take the time to go through my news feed all from the entire day, especially.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm lazy. Did Iron Chef
no, it was
break anyone's back and make them humble? Or
it was MasterChef, and they did the 2-hour premiere where they basically it's just two episodes back to back. But they did like, you know, like WWE does. They did the recap, but like at the beginning of the second episode, they just did a recap of everything we just saw 5 minutes ago.
Huh. Yeah, they're borrowing from the WWE model, but at least they're not as redundant.
Yeah.
Well, there was that SmackDown that was commercial free, the last one, where because it was commercial free, the match, some Divas match ended, and they literally showed the recap of the Divas match immediately following it. That's what I call fucking redundant as fuck. That was like case in point. Like if you need an example of what's wrong with video highlight packages in wrestling, I implore you, fine listeners, all one of none of you or 8,000, who knows, find that live, the last live SmackDown, and proof is in the pudding. It was made by the Master Chef.
There you go. Ring of Honor. You want to go to Ring of Honor next, since JT's okay. Already reading?
This is for last night, so it's this week's episode. There's not much. Mark Briscoe defeated Colin Delaney. And this week's pick of the week is the CNC Wrestling Factory. I want you to text ROH to them and you can get a picture of them. They've been doing that recently the last few weeks because we haven't been doing the ROH on the program. It started out a few weeks ago with the Briscoes, and last week was like Michael Elgin, and this week is CNC Wrestling Factory, who, if you don't know who they are, they're Coleman and Alexander, which I think that's their name now. Nigel McGuinness makes Jay Briscoe versus Mark Briscoe for the ROH Championship at Best in the World Official. Steve Corino comes out and bitches because about the decision, reminds us that no matter who ends up, who becomes champion, the next challenger will be his chosen one, which is Matt Hardy. Veda Scott cuts a promo demanding a match with Mischief. Then Cherry Bomb defeated Mischief with help from Veda Scott. And then Roderick Strong cuts a promo saying that Taiji Ishimura is what the competition he's been looking for in Ring of Honor. And then in the main event, Taiji Ishimura defeated Roderick Strong. And that's the end, and that's all I got to say about that.
I saw Cherry Bomb a couple of months ago on an indie show around here. She's actually pretty talented in the ring. I know Justin Ruff is a big Cherry Bomb fan as well. Colin Delaney's worked the indies around here. In fact, he's a local boy. He's from Rochester.
Yeah. Yeah, he did the two CW shows.
Yeah, he's also done Empire State Wrestling. He's worked with Pier 6 Wrestling down in Hamlin. He's all over the place when he feels like it.
Yeah, I went to the one indie show I went to in my life. He wrestled like the first match, and the entire crowd there, and there was like 300 people there, and they were all chanting "You got fired," because he still looked like the dirty, scummy dude he looked like in the ECW days.
Yeah, he was when we saw him, he was coming out to Man in the Box. He was still rocking the red tights with the black suspender singlet thing, whatever, you know. And he teamed with a dude named Maximo Suave.
Yeah. He shaved his head now, and he's got the whole, like, buzz cut look, and
that's what I've heard. His brother also used to wrestle around here, Freddie Midnight. In fact, he came back at the indie show George and I went to a couple of weeks ago, where we picked on Brian DeVille the whole night. But, yes. So, SmackDown happened!
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
It did.
Well, are we willing to admit it?
I missed Mo. I fell asleep. But, yeah.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about Impact, because I thought before we talk SmackDown.
That did happen.
I thought this was
a
decent episode. Like, I can't defend the Hulk Hogan Sting shit at all, and I'm not going to even attempt to do so. If you just don't watch that stuff, this episode was actually pretty fun and pretty good. We had the return of Suicide. Yes, he's his failed gimmick, because he still lives.
I've already died. It's just the funeral I've been waiting for.
Is his theme song still the knockoff of Suicide by Metallica?
I didn't pay too much attention to the entrance. I'm sorry. I don't know about that part. It's apparently T.J. Perkins under the mask, and if at least that's the way the dirt sheets have been reporting it. And I would expect that if it isn't Perkins, it has to be someone at the level of him, because it's not Kaz and it's not Danielson for sure. He's good, though. Whoever it is really good. And he had a match with Joey Ryan and Petey Williams, more or less to reintroduce him to the crowd. It wasn't the longest match, but it was actually really fun to watch. And I have to give the show a thumbs up for that. They also had a nice little match with Magnus and Wes Briscoe. I know it sounds weird because Briscoe is in that match, but I think Magnus is at the level now that he can carry a guy who's a little green. So I have to admit I also enjoyed that. And I also have to give props to Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson. Anderson wins, essentially with nefarious involvement with the Aces and Eights, but it is what it is. Outside of the finish, it was, again, pretty solid bout. We got somebody to make a little bit of a guest return on the show. You see, we need a new tag team partner for Storm, and we had a bunch of guys come out. We had Robbie E come out, and...
I voted for Frankie Feathers.
Yes, I was hoping Frankie Feathers would come out, but instead we got Shark Boy. That was cool. That was a nice little moment. And then somebody that kind of looked familiar, and I could have sworn it was Murphy. Turns out it was Gunner. I'm not sure where I stand on this. He's been away from TV for so long that I want to give this guy a chance, and it's something different. So once again, I have to give props. They got me interested in this because I really didn't expect this would turn out with a surprise return, at least not going this way. At least it wasn't Braden Walker. But what they did do well when it came down to the Aces and the Ace thing was this big deal about AJ Styles joining and like patching in or whatever they call it in the Sons of Anarchy. They had a little assembly in the ring, and you kind of expect, okay, AJ is going to swerve for us right now, and he's gonna kick one of these guys or whatever. He didn't do it, and you're like, okay, well, that's kind of odd. And they give him his jacket, and the Aces and Eights leader, Bully Ray, goes up to AJ, and he's like, well, we all know you don't drink alcohol. You never drunk a drop in your life, but we're going to give you this beer and we want you to drink it. So again, you're expecting, okay, AJ's going to swerve us, kick the beer out of the hand or something like that. No, he downs the beer in a chug. So you're kind of like, really? They're actually going this shoot. This can't be right. And then Kurt Angle comes out. Now they're going to swerve us. It's got to happen. He's got a little bit of backup. Samoa Joe and all the other guys are going to run out and they're going to attack Aces and Eights. And no, Aces and Eights beats down Kurt Angle, and They hand AJ Styles a hammer, and you're thinking, okay, this has to be where they swerve us. Like, this is getting ridiculous. No, he fucking beats down Kurt Angle with the hammer. And then Aces and Eights turn their backs, and that's when they finally have AJ just beat the fuck out of all of Aces and Eights with the hammer, and they played it well. Like, they had me convinced that, okay, there's no way this is going to be a swerve anymore. Like, they constantly kind of fucked with your head, and they did it really well. So I have to give them a little bit of credit. And I also have to say that this is a good thing, because if AJ joined Aces and Eights, I think the storyline would go longer than it has to go. So in the grand scheme of things, I think it's a good thing. I think this just means the story will end sooner. But this was a decent moment in what has been almost, I guess, a year now. Anyway, TNA was actually watchable this week. They're also continuing the potential turn of Brooke Hogan, who's terrible as an actress. Apparently, waving your hand in front of your face means you're crying.
Well, you know who taught him, brother. Dude, brother.
Was it Tori Wilson?
No!
Okay, so am I reading the SmackDown review then?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Oh, let me get on there.
Yeah, you're we're all in this one in some capacity. It's a little sidetracked this week.
I will play the part of George, I guess.
Yeah, you got a little bit. It'll be kind of funny that you're playing.
Good thing I'm only holding up signs or being held up. Spoiler alert! I read.
Oh, you're holding up a sign in the first sentence, pretty much second, actually. Can I be frank for a minute? JT is seen in my preamble holding up a sign that says, "No, your name is Jeep, brother dude." Fine, look. On May 21st, Steve Wilhite, inventor of the GIF file format, won the Lifetime Achievement Webby Award for giving the gift of the GIF to the world. And he also settled a long-time debate on how to pronounce the word associated with the format. The dude invented it says it's a soft G. Assholes calling me soft? Or, as he would nicely put it, choosy programmers choose GIF. So for all those whining and complaining who have been wrong all along, just deal with it. Learn to speak properly. I can't believe there's internet outrage over this. It's unfucking believable. And one more thing. There's also confusion on how to pronounce the internet term meme. Smarten up. It rhymes with cream. I have no clue why people think it sounds like them or BB.
Here we go. You have a sound clip here, so let's do this. Give me a second. Let me get it up here for you. Because I'm also playing music in the background that you can subtly hear. Because it's radio. We need background music.
Radio.
Okay, here we go. This is the thing.
Meme. Meme. Meme.
That is how you pronounce meme. I never even heard anybody pronounce it like them.
I have.
I have not. That's new to me.
So I had to get that out of the way because it's been pissing me off for too long. Anyway, warning. The following SmackDown may contain traces of Extreme Rules. In the evening, perfect figure skating leaps might reoccur, causing games to fail entering the ring. If symptoms of gaining injustice or friendship fallout appear, please consult the Shield. The WWE voiceover guys might also be Paul Heyman guys. I like that one. Anyway, good God, what's worse, the flowchart or Ms. TV opening SmackDown? I can't decide. Tonight's guest is Summer Rae. Oh, and that Fandango guy is out too. LA King's Twitter feed notes Fandango was molesting Rae on the entrance ramp. Ah, so that's where Abraham Washington works now. Silly AW, that's an allergic reaction to peanuts. I try calling an ambulance for help, but I'm told I did not follow Ryback rules. The timekeeper, suspiciously looking like somebody from Public Enemy, shouts, 911 is a joke. Weird. I thought Johnny Grunge and Rocker Rock were dead. Think so, Joe. So mean. Think so, Joe is seen shambling at ringside, dragging a sign behind himself while doing the Fandango dance that says, "Gee, you fucking callous dick. They are my brethren now. Show some respect." I think about this carefully and then shrug my shoulders. If Vince can start Raw with an ambulance on the same week of the anniversary of Owen Hart's death, I still think I look more like a class act.
Before you go on, I'm bored. Before you go on for a G, I was on Twitter right as SmackDown started, and The Miz was tweeting out how his segment opened up SmackDown, and I was so close to saying, "Well, that gives me a reason not to watch."
I'm bored as hell, as Hez might become apparent until medium-sized Wade Barrett Barrage, I forgot business owner, comes out to his new entrance music and notes he hasn't met a more useless piece of shit. He's pissed because Fandango fucked him over in the match on Monday when he did the Land of a Thousand Dances and calls him a pathetic waste of skin. Miz takes exception, calling Barrett disrespectful for ignoring the fact Wade will defend his IC title against Miz tonight. And they scrap. Wade saved that, but he shares his first name with the Merc with the Mouth, Marvel Comics Deadpool, so he gets a free pass. I wonder if Wade Barrett can teleport too.
I've seen this Y2J meme.
Oh, it's classic. Reactions are funny, I guess. Alright, IC title match. Wade Barrett, champion, versus The Miz. The match is underway as we return, and Fandango is on commentary. He speaks too quietly and mumbly. It's hard to follow. For no reason, mid-match, Fandango hits his music, and he and Ray just start dancing during the match. I suppose that is playing off how the WrestleMania crowd hummed his theme at that infamous Randall Keith Orton unmixed strawberry yogurt match. After distraction and disrespect, Fandango hits a shining wizard from the outside onto a prone Miz, causing a DQ win. Fandango joins Wade beating off The Miz Cock Talk every Sunday on BWF Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then Barrett Rape shreds the Bukkake out of Fandango with a souvenir and walks out of the arena, tossing Barrett Barrage energy bars to the crowd. He's a generous guy. Kane and Bryan discuss what happened in their tag title match at the pay-per-view. Bryan storms out yelling, "I am not the weak link." I thought that segment was terrible, guys, by the way. Jack Swagger versus Daniel Bryan. Old Swagger and Colton Orr are already in the ring. No entrances for them. They just found out their entrance music was made from Mork, or Mork from Ork, alien sis. And unlike Think So Zombie Joe, dropped the ball in our game with his inability to pick a two-word JBL catchphrase, I got two words for this match. Nanu Nanu. Starts off pretty nice as we head to our first commercial break, and Kane is seen in the audience holding up a JT, who is holding up a Zippo lighter to his mouth and projects flames, which reads, "It still burns."
Ball game is one word.
We're going to have a dictionary battle. I choose Webster's Merriam. Got Oxford. Let's go. Oh, man. I love this finishing move in that baseball game I never watched. This match is solid, and I'm quite enjoying it. Both of these guys have a good mat-based game, and the crowd recognizes the energy and technique accordingly. And what's really impressive is the use of catch-as-catch-can submissions and amid a variety of rope spots and grapples. Kane made his way back to the audience at his ringside, watching Bryan slap a no-lock to submit Swagger for the win, and Bryan leads the crowd in a yes chant and gesture. Bryan returns to the no-lock post-match, and the referee, with help from Kane, break Bryan off from his heel-tastic tactics. A tease of dissension and team friendship? Yep, I Rollins. I would have liked to see that match go longer and not end clean, but perhaps we will get another program out of the two guys. And gravity always wins, folks. Gravity always wins.
I see that.
Hi, everybody!
We are told Cena saw Dr. Nick this week and will appear in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, this Monday for Raw. Well, at least he missed 1 week. Then they show us a bunch of clips from Extreme Rules and Raw featuring Ryback and hosted by Krusty the Clown, Mr. Black, Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, Henry Ford, Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, Seth Jones, Patrick Waugh, Derek Roy, Alain Vignette. Nobody. Who will be the next coach of the Vancouver Canucks? Lindy Ruff?
Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone.
Who is Eric Cartman's father? I made that next picture, by the way. That was fun for me. Anyway, here we go. Damian Sandow with Marvin Gaye is here, and he's got a microphone. So shut the fuck up. I don't do a very good Sandow, but I can do this if you want. For the last several weeks, I've sat idly by and watched as two troglodytes disguised as WWE superstars engaged in a series of contests, each more half-witted and embarrassing than the last. A tug-of-war, arm wrestling, and a truck pull. And the only thing worse than that is all of you seem amused by it. Well, this is something I call, and pay close attention, appealing to the lowest common denominator. And then Sandow points with overemphasis to the crowd in a comical circular fashion. Her intellectual savior continues. Know your audience, Marshall McLuhan. Silence! Now I doubt there are any mathletes in this crowd this evening, but I'm going to say this. The true measure of a man is not in the feats of his physical strengths, but his ability to deal with mental challenges. Now, by a show of hands, who here is a fam... Sandow stops, prevents a chortle, and composes himself, and continues. Let me explain this to you. The tale of the Gordian Knot. In ancient times, there was a wee peasant farmer by the name of... Anyone?
Bueller.
Gordian, who tied this ox to a tree with a knot so complicated it was said no man could untie it. A prophecy that clearly states that any man who is unable to untie the Gordian Knot would rule all of Asia. Now, Mr. Stryker, you are a former educator, a teacher... albeit a substitute teacher, right? Barring your shortcomings, I propose that you accept the challenge and attempt to untie the Gordian knot. Stryker attempts the feat as the announcers mock the current American education system. Sandow. You can't? Stryker, no. Sando, congratulations! You've just renewed your idiot license, and you've just embarrassed the entire Substitute Teachers Union of America. Attention, Washington, I've just found the problem in the educational system. Now take a man like myself, who's superior, and Sando is then interrupted by the heel, Seamus. If you're too lazy to click the links provided, the solution to the coordinate knot is thinking outside the box, hence cutting the rope and just taking the fucking ox without untying shit. Ruck fools, get it? Unfortunately, Seamus, who wants to renew his idiot license since the office is open for business, and immediately from out of nowhere, a masked man wearing a red and white Delusher mask emerges. He's wearing a Team Alpha t-shirt and hits a hangman's noose neckbreaker on Seamus. GT is seen in the audience, holding up a sign that notes, Ryan Pillman trained in the dungeon, so he might as well be a Canadian. The masked man points at JT and nods, then catches a rope from the rafters and swings off the entrance ramp into the concessions course like some kind of Paul Burchill.
We did find that guy. He was on Trash Bag Wrestlers.
Was he?
The masked guy. I sent you the link.
Oh, that's right. Been a long week. Oh, even I didn't finally make it to the UT pre-show. Tens of dollars. I made that one too. I was bored. The YouTube pre-show crashed on me. Seamus implies being intelligent is bad, and Sando is a pervert or something because he's a face. Then Seamus requests to solve the knot, and Seamus messes with the thing until Sando takes it from him and shows it how it's done. I'm not transcribing this whole thing. Sando gets some garden shears and cuts the knot, hence your lesson today, kids. Seamus applauds sarcastically because he is retarded, and he misses the point. You're welcome, shouts Sando, displaying the knot proudly. And Seamus claims that he's the bigger, better man here and goes to congratulate him with a bro kick. Sando evades it and makes a point of predicting Seamus' simpleton strategy. Seamus grabs Stryker and says he wants to return the lesson of Newton's laws. And then he fucking tosses Stryker like a human missile onto Sando outside the ring. What the fuck? Stryker did nothing. By God, King, Stryker did nothing. Be a star.
Barbecue.
Jerry Lawler dies of a heart attack and joins Andy Kaufman at the gates of heaven with St. Peter. All three of them shake their heads collectively at Seamus' mixed booking and proceed to do the traditional keg stands and the 3-foot bong hits in an attempt to make sense out of Seamus. They don't. A massive tear drops from the heavens and floods the world. George did this because he didn't join Facebook, as predicted in the Legacies of BWF Radio every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. This week is our 75th episode. Well, it was. George killed us all. All right. The Big Show versus Chris Jericho. I go into this mixed. On one hand, you have Jericho. On the other, you have a toaster-sized hand. You have The Big Show. And I opt to just watch and comment post-match. And I'm surprised by this match. But I guess I shouldn't be. It's a lot of good work by both. Albeit, I would argue a certain someone from Winnipeg, damn it, carried it. Jericho culminates the story with a codebreaker outside the ring, and this leads to a countout win for Y2J. Show walks off, shaking his head, likely to join Mark Henry in the CD bar by the airport where all the broken WWE monsters hang out. Giant Gonzalez runs the place. I hear a tap in my balcony. It's George.
Can I borrow a cup of Ruffles all dressed?
Nope.
Cheap fuck!
I'm Canadian.
You know Giant Gonzalez would have lent me some.
He's dead.
But his real name, non-kayfabe, was George!
I'm Canadian!
So this is all you wrote for me to say this week?
Yeah, I got lazy. Sorry, man. And George floats off in his hot air balloon, angry as hell. JT is seen in the audience holding up a sign stating, Blame Canada! Blame Canada indeed. Blame Canada indeed. A certain red and white masked man joins me. We eat Ruffles all dressed chips while laughing maniacally. Lightning crashes behind us, killing the band alive. And these chips are awesome! Should have joined Facebook, comments the Lucha Libre mystery man. We see clips of Triple H's post-concussion symptoms from Raw. More to follow on Monday. Something about Dolph Ziggler? I don't remember. Honestly and seriously, I suspect that donation to the Sports Legacy thing is now a storyline fodder for the game. Either Curtis McGillicuddy or enter Curtis McGillicuddy and Paul Heyman. In all fairness, Heyman kicks ass here, mixing up the Kool-Aid and selling his own legacy of delivering the next talent. And Axel gets mic time and claims to be the best of his family lineage, and that he left Triple H dazed and confused. I'll give Axel a passing grade here. He certainly has got his speaking level up, not right up to his father's work, but nonetheless it's a reboot. And this guy gets a lot of respect from the workers as being technically sound. If his worst asset is his promo, he's got the best mouthpiece in the world today to help round out that shortcoming, and that's what a manager does. Curtis Axel versus JT's favorite, Sin Cara. The yellow lights are back. The Randall Keith Orton bot joins commentary. Holy fucking monotone. He just stole Fandango's commentary gimmick. Sin Cara is booked pretty even here, and the match is surprisingly decent for the 5 minutes it gets, and Axel is good too. Axel wins after Sin Cara misses a top rope splash, and Curtis links his shoulder and slams him into the mat for the pin and the win. You know, a lot of people have discussed why Wendy's advertisements use two different red-headed women to shill their restaurant chain. And they're critical of this because one is younger and considered more attractive, while the other, Dave Thomas's daughter, is more obese and older. I question their logic. In fact, I dare say these are the same and woman. The so-called younger one is, in fact, Dave Thomas's daughter as well, while the older one at a later time is a warning of excessive consumption of Wendy's food.
On the Noah's Ark show, they call the younger one Hot Wendy.
Hot Wendy. Yes, because she hasn't eaten enough of the burgers yet. She's working on it. Drive-thru's open late. U.S. title match. Dean Ambrose versus Kofi Kingston. No fucking around here. Right in the match, and after the entrances, Ambrose tells his team to go grab some whiskey-flavored popcorn for JT, since he's got this. 30 minutes dedicated to this match? Sweet! JT is seen in the audience beside Roman Reigns shortly thereafter, holding up a sign that says, "The guy beside me can't speak!" True. Who cares? This match looks to be a fucking winner. After a nice little start, the Shield run in anyways, and JT is seen in the audience upset. I'm sorry, buddy. The match was ruled DQ due to interference, and Ortbot and Sheamus run in to help Kofi. You know what this match needs? Flowchart, you say? Why are you talking in my review and not putting your hand up? Go to the office and see the principal, and also tell them we're booking a 6-man tag match, Playahalla. The ghost of Teddy Long has spoken. Way to shred rape a nice singles match, Teddy Long, you super dick. The Shield versus the Holding Pattern.
And it's at this point I stopped. I didn't stop and delete, but I fast-forwarded.
Yeah, this match didn't really serve up any story progression, and I suspected that. But, it looked like it would be decent. And the Shield does, probably interest me and likely many of us smarks more than anything not found on NXT. So, we got some good work from Ambrose and Rollins, and they proved they can hang with the top without a sweat. Reigns is a small factor, and Team Duckface delivers what they can in the ring. There's no criticisms there. We do get a neat spot before our first commercial, seeing Ambrose and Reigns save Rollins from Sheamus' teach kids to count at home chest punching move. Think so, John Zombie Joe is placed on the entrails of half-eaten victims into a field. The message is seen from the low-flying crop duster and posted to Tumblr. It says, "No thanks, Sheamus. I learned to count at Dr. Scott Steiner's Mathematics Finishing School for Excellence." What did you get for a grade, Joe?
I think you know what I got for a grade.
All right. The final stretch involves a near finisher, moves by all 6 men, but you already knew that. What makes the difference is that the Shield take advantage of Orton outside the ring in a swarming spot, and he's the legal man, as is Rollins, who awaits the countout. Nope. In comes Ambrose. A shame that it would have been a great ending, but if it goes on, and I won't complain. It's a good bout. At the heart, but is that heart typical from here on out? Math is taught, fella, lame. Breaking news! Ireland has become completely infected! World War Z is coming out! I hope it doesn't suck! And after all is said and done, it comes down to Kofi and Ambrose finishes him. I got a personal message from Charles Barkley, and he said his Twitter got hacked. About 2 minutes later, he messaged me again. I ignore it. Barkley let us all down tonight. SmackDown didn't it. Good show.
Yeah, well, I didn't fast forward because I like the Shield, but the thing is, it's just the fact of the matter is, it's like, you just feuded with Orton and Sheamus, so you gotta throw them back in a match again. That was what I've seen this again. I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
By the way, my grade was 141.2%. Anyway. What else happened? Dictionary.com tells me that ball game is indeed two words.
Yeah, there is other sites that say otherwise, so we will do battle.
So we're up for debate still.
Yep. That actually wasn't what I was getting at, but you got me thinking after that comment. I'm like, wait a second. I just figured in your back pocket you had another JBL thing in there, but I was wrong.
No, I figured you were talking about ball game, but it's like, no, that's one word. But apparently it's not.
Oh, I would have accepted ball game. I just, whatever. Don't sweat the little things, Chris Cooley.
I don't know. Anyways, NXT, we had a great impromptu match between Antonio Cesaro and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Vomiting rainbow memes appear, and that was a pretty solid match. I enjoyed it.
Zayn like actually wrestled that first match before that too.
He did.
Like,
he defeated Kurt Hawkins, and then Cesaro defeated Yoshitatsu, and he's like, "There's no competition." And Sami Zayn comes out and says, "Hey, I'm competition," and then he won. He beat him. He beat two main roster guys in his first night on NXT. If you want to count Kurt Hawkins.
I can't hate on Kurt Hawkins. I think he's one of those guys that got labeled as a good hand, and that's why he has a job. They say, the wrestlers say, you never want to be labeled as a good hand, because that's what you end up doing is training all the kids. But someone's got to do it, and if he's making good money doing it, more power to him. I mean, that's what Michael McGillicuddy was doing for the last 2 years or whatever, right? Like, they used him off screen to like work with guys like The Rock and shit like that. So let's try to get The Rock into ring shape. I guess he kind of failed at that, but
yeah. boy. So every week a baby seal dies because George is not on Facebook. If this is the generic comment, it doesn't matter. George enabled that murder. Good job, haters. And that's facebook.com/georgeonbase. By the way, I don't know if you caught this, but George actually lowered the number of votes he needs once again. And now I will tell you in just a moment what that number is. As soon as Facebook decides it wants to load and tell me, if this page reaches 169, and George is at 49 right now. So 120 more people need to like George, and he will join Facebook. Yes, 169, that was his option. By the way, the Impact thing we were talking about earlier, Impact Wrestling tweeted, "If Cowboy James Storm could choose anyone, who would it be? Reply to us now and tag us with Impact Live in your answer." And I tweeted, at Impact Wrestling, at Cowboy J Storm should pick, at Frankie Feathers. Hashtag Impact Live, hashtag no idea what we're talking about. Frankie Feathers favorited that comment, that tweet. And G killed that baby seal wearing a seal mask while kissing a rose. He told him that his name was Axel, Curtis Axel. Then he went to Ireland, to Iceland, and tossed Bjork into the Atlantic Ocean because that's what I do.
Gotta learn to swim.
And our break song this week, because G can't tell where the fuck the song is, because apparently he does, Cooley does long-winded introductions that he cannot find the link to the song, and has to rewrite the introduction because the old introduction makes no sense now, so here it goes! JT says...
In all fairness, last week we did have a guest, and the rule is the guest is allowed to pick the song for the week.
Yeah, true, JT. Shit happens. Like car accidents on Wednesdays, and hosts not looking themselves... And grammar Nazis worrying about arguments over whether ball game is one or two words.
And that damn double C says, "Well, it seems that certain Canadians and certain random redheads have invaded and ruined the introduction. Anyways, this is Lordy. They are Finnish. The song is Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Timo Solani."
All right, Lordy, Hard Rock Hallelujah, Board Wrestling Fan Radio.
Light. The walls come down like thunder, the rocks about to roll. It's
Lordy, Hard Rock Hallelujah, requested by the damn Double C here on Board Wrestling Fan Radio on Ustream.
Lordy.
Yes, we're on Ustream now. Ustream, if you're not listening live, which you're not because I'm the only only viewer right now, I'm watching us on my tablet while we're doing the show. Anyway, Board Hockey Fan Ultimate Hockey Fighter Tournament is still going on. In last week's matchup, the Grim Reaper defeated Ian LaPerriere to advance to the semifinals. This week's third quarterfinal pits Matthew Barnaby against Bob Probert. Voting's pre-recorded? I can't pre-record it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it. Voting is live! Go vote at boardhockeyfan.com. Follow us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Instagram, Bebo, Habbo, SoundCloud, BuzzNet, DeviantArt, and maybe even Google+. Okay, maybe not really. We are on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm following on Nexopia.
Oh, boy. What was the reason, this is wrestling trivia, what was the reason why Juventud Guerrera got fired from WCW in 2000? Isn't it because he, like, got drunk and, like, raped somebody or something? Or murdered somebody? I don't fucking know. Something like
that. I didn't know he got fired. I just thought he came with all the rest of the WCWers in 2001.
He got fired in 2000. I think it's because he, like, got drunk and, like, killed somebody or raped somebody or some shit like that. I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm going to guess. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard many times from a couple different sources that there was this time when I think they were overseas and he was on ecstasy and was running around a hotel naked. I'm going to go with that.
I think you're right.
If that's true, that would probably get him fired.
So what's the Iron Sheik say this week?
Alrighty. Last Sunday after the show, break his back, make him humble. Today, Andre the Giant birthday. He never gave a fuck about the fans, and he never respect the boys in the locker room. Fuck his fat ass forever. Iron Sheik, Malcolm X, same thing. The Monday, Bubba. Hulk Hogan leg drop, biggest pussy move in the world. Nothing like the legend Camel Clutch. Fuck the Monday in the ass, and if you like the Monday, go fuck yourself. The Miguel leg drop white girl with pussy, the Hulk Hogan move. I see him beat the fuck out of him. Thrust, break his back, make him humble.
Who is the Miguel, by the way? I don't know who this guy is.
I have no idea either.
like a singer or something?
Yeah, I guess. 2 years ago today, my best friend, the Macho Man Randy Savage, died. If he saw the Miguel do Hulk Hogan mic drop forever, say fuck the Miguel. Miguel, your mustache.
Wait. Like, I know who this Miguel. The Miguel guy. He's a guy that was on the whatever fucking award show was on this past week. The Billboard
Awards.
Yeah. He like, there was like two stages and he was trying to jump from one to the other and he accidentally leg dropped some girl.
Miguel, your mustache look like hair on my ass. You are not real mustache like a legend. Go fuck your ass after you fuck by 50 dead dogs. Tuesday the real or Rice Krispie dick, you tell me. My dick's so big they roast it in the San Diego, but my legend roasts in the Los Angeles on the May 29th. Fuck Microsoft in the ass after I break his neck. Fuck the Dancing with the Stars. Xbox One the real or the Xbox One, go fuck yourself till it break its own back, make it humble own country way. Wednesday like Jose Canseco, dog sex with Chris Brown mother. Who came up with these day intros, by the way?
Wasn't me.
Was it Cooley?
Probably.
Oh, it's you? Okay. Well, I know that the first Sunday one was me, but the rest of them. Happy hump day, except for Miguel. He can go fuck himself. My movie be best. I show soon. You be happy to support the legend to help my ankle bother me. I love you all, Bubba, and fuck the whole Colgan. Yeah. The Sergio Garcia dumb fucking Mexican piece of shit with taco dick. I beat the fuck out of him. He deserved to choke on dog shit forever. Fuck Sergio Garcia ass, make humble. And here's his movie questions for the week. Which movie better, Fast and Furious 6 or Eat My Balls, You Dumb Motherfucker 3? Which movie Hangover 3 or Go Fuck Your Mother Dumb Bitch 4? Paul Thursday, 10,000%. Paul George, new generation, impressed me big time, Bubba. He not like the jabroni Englishman, Boy George, that punk bitch piece of garbage. To the Dana Raffelspin, you were big time jabroni, you drink the Sprite. You are no good jabroni, worse than Ultimate Warrior and Virgil forever. Jerry Lewis, you never have sex with woman, only you laugh when you shit your pants and I beat the fuck out of you, you no good motherfucker. Katy Perry, Jerry Lewis, or go fuck yourself. Friday or go fuck yourself. Today I ready for the Los Angeles. I get haircut, I do workout training, and I drink the cold beer ready for my roast. Buy my t-shirt today or tell me who to insult, otherwise go fuck yourself when the Mariah Carey sing you jibberoni. The Amanda Bynes don't know the A to the Z like the legend. She need me to suplex her and put her in camel clutch to show her how to party. LeBron the fuck up tonight. Chris Bosh, ugly piece of shit, raisin balls and hip, the baby ant dick. The Reggie Miller more white than the Marv Albert. Love this Saturday, break the jabroni back with camel blush, fuck his ass, make him humble. I love the Mae Young, I respect the Mae Young, but I still never have sex with the Mae Young. Only dumb motherfucker I don't want at my roast is the piece of dog shit, Dwight Howard. Everybody else in the LA come. Come cold beer in the Georgia, I'd be happy. And the one from today is fuck the fuck. And finally, as we always end with good night and go fuck yourself.
Of course. Vince McMahon is trying to be a comedian with this tweet. Quote, the first law of communication is to know your audience and speak their language. Oh, shit. I was about to tweet him back. I really was. I was like, no, I better not. And G says,
oh, snap. There's that Marshall McLuhan guy again. The medium is the message. Considering how low ratings have been going, clearly Vince is missing the point, huh?
Yep.
You guys know that quote, so you do know who Marshall McLuhan is, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who coined that. He also put out a book, which is kind of funny. He called it The Medium is the Massage. I'm not kidding you. Actually, that's the name of the book.
Shout outs, of course, to cheapheat.com and angrymarks.com as we go into our news. The reason G's SmackDown reviews are so awesome because he smokes crack? According to The Daily Show, all Canadians smoke crack and love giving blowjobs for crack.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool.
There's a video there if you want to play it.
Yeah, let's get that going.
I know what this is about.
I'm waiting for it to come up now because I didn't know there was a video. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's coming. It's on its way. It'll resume in 14 seconds.
Well, see, this is where I was going to go with the intro.
This is what happens when you don't install an ad blocker.
You know, I just swear I was going to go with the intro to the main event. I was like, nah, I couldn't think of anything.
For more, we turn to our senior Canadian correspondent, Samantha Bee and Jason Jones. They join us now from Toronto. Sam, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam, it was supposed to be you and Jason. Where is Jason?
Oh, yeah, he'll be right back. He's just buying some crack.
Wait, Jason smoked crack?
Yeah, he's Canadian. John, we all do it. Smoking crack is one of Canada's most cherished pastimes.
So, John, I'm late. I was just buying some crack. It's one of Canada's most cherished pastimes.
I already said that.
I'm sorry about that. I'm just whacked out of my mind on crack.
Jason, that's an awful lot of crack you've got there.
Well, I've got three kids at home, John. And they all smoke crack.
My mind is blown here. You know, it's a Canadian pastime. I think of Canada. I think of politeness and clean streets.
Well, sure, John. I mean, it's all of that on the surface.
And just under that surface is a thick layer of crack.
Yes.
John, Canada's not like the postcards you buy at Niagara Falls. It's like the postcards you buy from the guy in Toronto whose you suck for crack.
What? You're a television star. You guys have to suck for crack?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. We have to.
John, why do you think they only sell alcohol at government-run dispensaries? We can't be trusted with anything. You know, it's like that old French-Canadian saying, si c'est dans la maison.
If it's in the house,
nous le fumerons.
We will smoke it.
Après plusieurs de grandes blowjobs.
You could probably translate that one yourself.
Whoa, Jason! Jason, stop that! Are you smoking crack right now?
Hey, it's 6 a.m. somewhere.
Oh, my God, John. Are you judging us? This is our national heritage, not to mention the driver of our economy. Canada's largest national industry is crack production. And our second largest industry is giving blowjobs for crack.
This is insane. I mean, it's like Canada's that friend you have in high school and then all your parents love them because he's so polite and he calls everybody Mr. and Mrs., but then you find he's actually like a date rapist with like a roofie line.
Whoa, easy, John. We are not a nation of date rapists, okay? We are a nation of blowjob bestowing crack aficionados. By the way, you got any crack? I'll blow you for it.
What? Jason, you have a whole bag!
Oh, right, Jesus. Forgot about this. It's the crack. It really f***ed your head. You want a hit of this? Or?
Is Iqaluit the capital of Nunavut? Yeah, it is. Give it the f***ing crack.
All right, here you go.
All right, thank you. Samantha Bee and Jason Jones, everybody. We'll be right back.
That definitely explains the SmackDown reviews.
Totally.
Any response, G?
Oh, sorry, I'm giving a guy a blowjob here. Hold on. All right, I'm done. Thanks, dude. Okay, so, this is our Canadian heritage. I don't know why you guys are mocking it. That was like a documentary. That wasn't a comedy bit. I don't understand this criticism.
There wasn't any question. I was just asking you. Is that the reason?
That's right. Well, for anyone who's listening, what this is in really response to is the mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford, is allegedly smoking crack in a I guess a camera phone video that was taken by some crack dealers who are holding the video, and they want, like, I think it's $200,000 to release this video. So that's more or less the story. Obviously, the media is kind of reluctant to pay out the money, even though it would be like TMZ fodder, because the guys who took the video are admittedly crack dealers.
Huh.
So, I mean, you don't want to be you don't want to be like CBC, we endorse crack dealing.
Right, right.
So a little bit of controversy. Rob Ford has actually been in hot water on a number of occasions, but this one certainly takes the cake.
Yeah, if you've just seen that video, like, if that was part of the opening segment, he did, like, John Stewart did the whole intro where he talked about that, and it went into that, where it went into that, but it's like 10 minutes long, you know, and
The funny thing too is there's like a Kickstarter or Crackstarter fund by people in Toronto who want to get the video played, and they're apparently over $100,000 of the way there now. So I'm not gonna rip on Torontonians. Like I joke about how Canadians resent them, and there is a resentment towards Toronto and outside of it in Canada, but it's not like we're at like their throats. But it's kind of telling about some of the population of that city, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we get the same thing here in New York, you know. We resent New York City. The rest of the state resents New York City. So I never, because everybody thinks you say New York and you automatically, we're all New York Cityans. We're nothing like that.
And that's absolutely true. I'll vouch for that as a Buffalonian myself. So yeah, screw New York City. I actually titled an article on Board Wrestling Fan, Why New York City Can Go Fuck Itself, and yeah, I got some hate tweets, particularly from people at the other website.
New York City.
They kind of act like they're the center of the universe and they're better than everybody, and it's like the rest of New York City, it's like, we're not like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly it with Toronto up here. It's the center of the universe argument, so I feel for you, brothers. Dude, brother.
Goldberg was asked if there's anybody he'd like to still spear in 2013. Hunter, hands down. That's Goldberg's response, and that damn double C says he'd be careful if he was Goldberg because Stephanie looks bigger now than what Goldberg did back in the day. again, that was that damn double C that said that. So Triple H, that's where you know, send the lawyers.
Wait a minute, who said that about my wife? I'm the game. Oh wait, somebody said something about my wife. Oh wait, what happened?
Zeb Coulter is pissed about the finish of the Swagger vs. Del Rio match. Can we say conspiracy? Never seen instant replay before. And the ref who came down was a friend of Del Rio. What the f... Looking into taking legal action against this instant replay controversy. Where is at David Otunga when you need him? Paging David Otunga. Seems like at Viva Del Rio has his own personal ring announcer. Now he's apparently got his own private referee too. More info as it comes in. That's from twitter.com/WWEZeb. And that damn double C wonders, where's Nick Patrick when you need him?
Little Nate.
The Usos tweeted, new tag champs, we have unfinished business. See you guys soon. Hashtag believe that. Hashtag extreme rules. And people everywhere say, LOL. Curtis Axel has officially changed his Twitter handle. Do you see me now? Curtis Axel has arrived. I'm the game changer. And nobody decided to put the Twitter account in the thing, but I'm sure if you were following at WWE McGillicuddy or whatever his damn Twitter handle was before, you're still following him. So who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ricky Morton. Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. Ricky Morton has lost his NWA World Title match against Rob Conway last weekend when Morton's protege, Chase Owens, turned on him. And that damn double C says, this is news, not super important, albeit at least Rob Conway is still working, right? NWA doesn't remind us about their app every 10 seconds, so there's that.
Wait, there's an NWA app too?
Probably not. It's that damn double C. What a surprise, it's a Sunny story. Sonny's out of prison after serving 114 days for all those violating the ex-boyfriend's restraining orders. She's a free woman once again, and the damn double C says, but I assume next week we'll be reporting that Sonny's in jail again. It is Sonny, after all. Sonny's moving to New Mexico for a, quote, fresh start, and has recently had a hysterectomy after being diagnosed with cervical cancer due to being infected with HPV. Also, Sonny spent her time in jail penning her autobiography. That damn double C says, wait, Sonny can read and write? Surely it's a ghostwriter, and surely her bitch in prison read it to her. Jeff Hardy has been added to TNA's Base Brawl event on July 5th in Brooklyn, New York, where JT and I are not from. Neither JTG or Shad Gaspard could be reached for comment. Speaking of which, where the fuck is JTG? Didn't he take over Trent Peretta's old office?
Brooklyn.
Turns out the internet, Dirty Dirts, told us a lie. On the internet? Blasphemy. Kane says he has no plans for running for political office. His response to the rumors? Things get a little carried away on the internet sometimes.
Cooley says maybe they meant that the fake mask Kane was running for office.
I don't know. Somebody asked Doc. Anyway. Yeah, I actually saw this interview on the Tennessee News Channel, and Kane's sitting there, and it's Glenn Jacobs. He's got no mask on. He's got his hair tied back, and you could tell the only way you could really tell it's Kane is because he got the big gap tooth. And he's sitting there like, yeah, I mean, this internet tax would, it would be a new tax, even if it is already on the books, because they're not enforcing it. Sounded very intelligent. I would vote for Kane in a heartbeat, but that's probably the wrestling fan in me. I would also vote Jesse Ventura for president, so. Barry Darso believes that his son Dakota's career has been hindered by being second generation. It's just my opinion, but I think being a second-generation wrestler hurts him a little bit. Companies can only have so many second- or third-generation wrestlers on the roster. You have to have a different kind of characters. For every Randy Orton, there's a Von Erich, a Neidhart, or a Rotunda looking to break out. See this Monday's Raw. Paul Heyman guy? It appears... Everyone. What?
Everyone's a Paul Heyman guy. All those, if you're a second gen or third gen from now on, Paul Heyman guy.
Yep. Even if you're the new NXT champion.
That's right.
With your goofy hair and your goofy look and your failed already WWE main roster attempt. It appears Impact Wrestling isn't the only show with a downturn. Friday Night SmackDown hit a 1.78 rating with 2.44 million viewers. The lowest rating of the year and the lowest total number of viewers since last June. And G says,
well, I mean, I guess that means my rant from two Fridays ago in my review is pretty fucking accurate.
I'd say
so. But the Shield brought me back. Like I said, day one, I would be more interested in WWE, and I am now. So, thank God.
Lanny Poffo and his mother Judy had a private remembrance at Olive Garden of brother-son Randy Poffo, Macho Man Randy Savage, one of his favorites. Or one of his favorite restaurants, rather.
This quietly the anniversary came and passed, but yep. Once, of course, rest in peace, Macho Man.
Of course, we did just also pass the anniversary of Owen Hart. It's passing, right. Passing as well.
Which is, of course, the next news item.
Yes, Thursday, May 23rd marked a tragic passing of legend and amazing wrestler Owen Hart. What a shitty week for wrestling fans, historically, says G.
Yep, indeed. Rest in peace, Owen Hart.
Breaking.
Indeed.
Breaking news. Monday night's Bret Hart Appreciation Night will air live exclusively on the Score TV at Check the Ticker right after Raw. Only in Canada. Scheduled to be a part of festivities are Vince McMahon, Shawn Michaels, and I'm sure a Hart or two will also be there as well, says Jimmy Corderas. And let's kill that rumor, because Appreciation Night festivities live from Calgary exclusively on the official WWE app. Shocking, here in the U.S. You can watch it on the Score in Canada, of course, or on the app here in the U.S. Tyson Kidd is teasing that he'll be there despite knee surgery in January. Quote, so I heard this Monday from Calgary, Raw is Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
That's right. There is one other person who won't be there. That will be me. Unfortunately, I will not be doing my seat-filling this Monday.
Boo. But,
I can't fast forward to live events anyway.
That's true.
It is what it is. It's, you know, easy come, easy go. I'd rather that the guy who hooks me up with him takes his brother to his first ever live event.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's taken me to a number of them, so I can't... whatever. Easy come, easy go, like I said.
Adam Rudiman, the writer who took over for Eric Pankowski a couple of weeks before WrestleMania as the lead in creative, has, guess what? Already been sacked by the company after only 6 weeks on the job. And I don't know if you heard this, but the reason that he got fired is because he didn't know shit about wrestling.
Really? No, I didn't show in the product or nothing.
Now back to Hollywood to find another soap opera writer, because that'll solve the problem.
Carlito heels on the Shield. Quote, just watch Raw. Two members of the group need to stop believing in the Shield and start believing in the gym. The third member, though, big fan. Ouch. Jeez. Is he talking about... Because Reigns is pretty jacked. He's got to be talking about Rollins and Ambrose, right?
Yes. He never specified, so that's what I assumed, too.
Huh. Shortly after that, Carlito backtracked. Dirt sheet, stop trying to start shit with my tweets. These just fucking jokes. Leave me in the land of irrelevance where I'm happy. Thank you.
That's not cool.
Spits apple.
Roman Reigns appeared to suffer an ankle injury at the SmackDown taping and was helped to the back by referees. But he did work house shows over the weekend, so he's good. Wade Conway says Mark Henry was injured before Extreme Rules. I attended the house show in Evansville, Indiana, the night before Extreme Rules, and the main event was Henry, Big Show, and Ryback versus Cena, Orton, and Sheamus. During the 15-minute match, Henry was the only guy not to get tagged in. His only activity was getting hit off the apron at the end of the match, so it appears he was hurt before Extreme Rules, so when he left on Raw, it was no surprise.
I was wondering about that I'm going home bit.
Yeah. I've also heard that they're bringing him back as a face. The answer to wrestling trivia for the week is as follows. Guerrero got high on Fencidine? I don't know. On October 8th, 2000, while on tour in Brisbane, Australia, the drug, which is known to cause hallucinations, aggression, and disassociative dream-like effects, caused Hoovy to storm from his room stark naked and threaten to murder WCW executives. Brisbane authorities fined him $1,800. WCW terminated his contract immediately. So, gee, you were right.
Yeah, I was wrong about some of the details, but yeah. Death threats, naked death threats while on a hallucinogenic, that that makes a hell of a lot of sense. You got fired.
Yeah. Video game nerds unite. In case you were worried about the next installment of WWE video game, WWE 2K14 will come out on next-gen consoles as well as the current 360 and PS3 systems. And gee, you and I were having a little bit of a conversation earlier this week about the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me to hold off, and I'm like, I'm buying it as soon as it comes out. So at least I know.
A lot of sports titles did this in the past. Console turnover, where they had like hockey and Madden, and a lot of the sports titles especially were out on both for the first year of the turnover, I guess, if that's the right term. Or
I know the NHL video game came out on PS2 for quite a while after PS3 came out, and the original Xbox. So I mean, it's not uncommon, but yeah, I'm still planning on buying the Xbox One. I have my reasons. So
fair enough. I'm of the belief personally, like my main bias is not really the fanboy thing, because I don't have enough time to play all the games I want to play. Right. So realistically, I'm not getting all the consoles. I'm just gonna get the one that eventually there'll be enough games that I really want to play that are no longer available on the old console, and at that point I'll pick.
Yeah,
but they don't. There's probably only, I guess, only going to be 15 games for the Xbox One in the first year. So keep that in mind. It's not backwards compatible. You can't play your old games.
I understand that, and I'm keeping my 360 as well, but I have reasons to buy, which is the Blu-ray player, the cable box feature, which is awesome. Because I need both a new Blu-ray player and a new cable box. So.
And see, and that's why it makes sense for you.
That's why it makes sense for me, and then I throw my 360 in my bedroom, and I can still play all my 360 games.
That's right.
And my Xbox games.
Me too. I can play my N64 games. Yay!
Jerry Lawler talks about his in-ring competitive return to wrestling this weekend. Quote, the doctor said everything looked great and that I was good to go. I asked if I could go back to doing what I've always done, and he said it wouldn't be a problem. That actually, it would be good because it would be cardio work, which is good for me. Anything to get my heart rate up. I asked if taking a body slam would be an issue. He said nothing like that would affect my heart. I asked if I could play tennis. He told me, yeah, no problem. I then told him, well, I never could before, so why now?
I haven't heard any news about his match, so I'm assuming he's okay.
I'm sure he was fine.
Giving out the pile drivers.
And that damn double C says, Brett and Anvil gave people a heart attack all the time, and they seemed fine afterwards. Send your hate tweets to @thatdamnDoubleC.
Yeah.
And in that damn double C related news, WWE will be taping 4 TV shows in 1 week in July. Raw on July 22nd and 23rd in Austin and Laredo, Texas, followed by another show in Corpus Christi to tape SmackDown on the 24th and yet another SmackDown taping on the 25th. All of this is being done so WWE can go on the road for another international tour of Australia. And that damn double C says, ha, I don't go to that shit. Even when I watched wrestling, I didn't go to that shit. Remember Nathan Jones? Yeah, well, about that. Jones was sentenced to 16 years in 1987 at Bago Road Gaol for 8 armed robberies between 1985 and 1987, 2 of which occurred in Tasmania. During the robberies, he became one of Australia's most wanted and ended up serving him 7 years maximum security prison. We knew that. They didn't deny that.
That's true. That's right. But we got to remember, you know, it's Australia and it's part of their heritage. So we can't make fun of them for being criminals.
Apparently Hulk Hogan does the weather after this ad. We don't do we're trying to avoid having too many ads on the show because we're already getting ads on Ustream. So, and we're not getting paid for any of them. Okay, here we go. Hulk Hogan does the weather.
Had some rain yesterday in parts of the Bay Area, especially Wesley Chapel. Let's head over to weather with Bobby Deskins, or should I say the menacing meteorologist.
I hope this marker comes off.
I hope it does, too.
I'd have a little help this morning doing the weather. Mr. Hulk Hogan, ladies and gentlemen, come on over.
All right, brother, let me put the shades on. First, a magic trick.
Oh.
Now you see the weatherman? Now you don't, brother. There you go, man. There you go. We're
okay.
Good.
We got it set up for you.
How do you do the weather with your sunglasses on?
Okay, so you see yourself there.
I got it.
You see yourself over there. Okay. And, in fact, right over there is Rocky Point. That's what I do all the
Rocky
time.
Rocky Point?
What's in Rocky Point?
It looks like Hogan's Beach parking lot.
Right there. That's right.
Man,
and
I like
the weekend
it.
Forecast?
Beautiful, like Macho Man would say, ooh, yeah, beautiful all weekend, brother.
Now, let's take you out to the beach. I can't do it. I won't even try.
Okay, go for
Look
it.
At this view we've got. Step out just a little bit back to behind you there.
Okay.
Well, back towards me just a little
back
bit.
Back towards you.
What do we got right down there at Clearwater Beach? There's the circle.
Clearwater Beach, and I see
right
Hogan's
there.
Beach Shop. Yeah.
That's right.
A little farther down, I see my 4 chihuahuas out back playing in the backyard. Wow,
all
that's
right,
cool.
Now let's talk about the forecast. So okay. What's it going to be for the little Hulkamaniacs out there today?
Well, the forecast is going to start out about 70 degrees about 7 a.m. And it's, oh, I'm supposed to read it off there. I was just guessing. It's 72 right now. See,
that was a pretty
far off.
Good guess.
Humidity 94%. East southeast winds 3 miles per hour. Speed limit. You know you can't speed, brother, when the weather's nice.
Those little Hulkamaniacs, be careful. They're at the bus stop this morning.
69 warm start. It's going to go up to about 81 or 82 today, as predicted.
Yeah. And, what you going to do today?
What am I going to do today? I'm going to do all this media press and let everybody know about Impact Wrestling tomorrow night at the Sundome starting at 7 p.m., brother.
That's warm and humid, brother. Afternoon
warm
storms,
humid,
50%
brother.
Chance. Okay. All right, that's the forecast. We're going to put temperatures back into the 80s today, and we're going to scare them down. I'm juicing, by the way. Can you tell?
What kind of juice you taking? Carrot juice or orange juice?
I think it's vitamins, one a days.
Oh, this should be Hogan vitamins,
something
brother.
Like that, yeah.
This is great, man. Now I know
exactly. All right,
exactly,
I'm going to hop out of the way and let you do it.
Now I know exactly what to plan all day. Board shorts today. You know, Speedos tomorrow. Every day's a beach day here at Hogan's Beach. And without a doubt, after the beautiful day tomorrow, we're going to be... Wait a minute, what's going on here?
We got some fog out there this morning.
We got some
fog. Tough to see up in Zephyr Hills.
Oh, man, we got fog everywhere. That's just because everybody was looking at the 24-inch pythons here today doing the weather, and I just smoked up the whole room. We're so hot here right now.
All right, now.
Well, how come you don't work with all these beautiful ladies here? What's wrong with you, brother?
It's the best gig, man. It's the best gig I got, right?
Yeah.
All right, temperatures will start out in the 60s and 70s. We're going to the 80s. Okay. It's going to be warm. Is it going to rain today? We got some rain down south.
Well, those lunatics down in Miami, they might have a rough time. It's beautiful for us.
Yeah, good start for us. Then we have afternoon showers and thunderstorms. So if you're headed down to the beach, you're headed to the beach shop, or you're headed even to Hogan's Beach today, it's about 3, 4, 5 o'clock that we're going to have those afternoon showers and storms. All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay, brother.
Let's send it to them. 7-day forecast.
7-day forecast. Okay, here we go. Hold on a minute. Let me get back here. Okay, brother. 89 degrees high on Thursday. Friday, 91. Saturday, 89. Sunday, 88. Monday, 90 degrees. And Tuesday, 89. So what you gonna do when the beautiful weather that Hulk Hogan has moved all the clouds out of the way shines on you? What you gonna do? It's beautiful all week long, brother.
That was interesting.
So Hulk Hogan has power and control over the weather now.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I guess he...
He's had power and control over the weather since the 80s. we've already talked...
I like how he did the whole... The big TNA show tonight and that draw, like, what, 50 fans?
Yeah, it was pretty poor.
Oh, man. I saw that graphic you posted.
Note, but I do have an update on what Lawler did. He did his return for Dory Funk Jr.'s promotion. Apparently, he was in a team match, and he refused to wrestle some female named Hollywood Heather until about 15 minutes into the match when she slapped him. So he gave her a pile driver, and his team won. Yay, pile driving women.
Yes, star kiddies.
It's the old Tommy Dreamer gimmick. Dreamer should sue for gimmick infringement. let's see, what else did we see this week? TJ Perkins, we already said, a.k.a. Puma, played the suicide character on Impact and looks to have the role going forward. Alex Silva missed the Aces and Eights segment of Sam Shaw and Magnus being beat down on the aforementioned Impact due to travel issues. Where are they now? Trent Beretta, Percy Watson, Briley Pierce, and Derek Bateman have launched their own YouTube channel. The first is called Poker Night. Should I play it?
It's up to you. It's about 2 minutes long.
Oh, if it's only 2 minutes, yeah, why not? Let's avoid any ads. Oh, no ads. Here we go.
Hey, man. Can I ask you something personal?
Yeah, what's up?
Dude, my dick sucks.
I am so glad you said something because my dick is the worst.
Okay, you know when you're filling your tires up in your car with air, like the thing that's sticking out of your tire, like the little thing? Now think of the cap, okay? The cap, that tiny little thing, the twist-off thing? That thing is like twice the size as my hog.
Yeah, if you like melted 3 Mike and Ikes together, that's still way bigger than my piece.
Cock talk,
2 Okay,
PM.
You know I have that ant farm? Okay, so there's baby ants in the ant farm. I've seen a baby ant's wiener, okay? Up close. Bro, I wish.
Yesterday I was eating rice, and I just started to cry.
In high school, I used to dread going to chemistry class because I would go in there and they'd be talking all this shit about protons and electrons and neutrons. You know how small they are. They're like infinitely small particles. Well, I used to just think no matter how big I get, no matter how old I get, no matter how tall I get, my shitty little dumpster doorknob dick, it ain't never gonna be that big.
You ever watched another human die? I have. My own grandmother died in my own arms. And it broke my heart. Not because she was gone, but because her dead body just reminded me of my own worthless little macaroni dick.
Think of the Underground Railroad, Harriet Tubman, the Civil War, slavery, all that shit that, like, as Americans, we're ashamed of that part of our history. That's just tragic that all that went down. Okay, now think of my gay little rod that I'm sitting on here. That is way sadder.
But, like, look, what are your balls like, man?
They're fine. What about you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Cock talk.
Yes, cock talk.
And they had Baby Antics in there too. So
Baby Antics, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with these segments, but that is their first installment. Yeah.
Let's see. I have an update on The Rock's injury, or at least I think I do. Ah, there we go. Former WWE champion The Rock tweeted an update on his health via Twitter on Saturday evening. He says, quote, surgeon cleared me to dial up intensity 100% with training. Just crushed a high volume leg day. Hashtag quads a burning. And he's got a picture of him doing the splits or some shit like that. I don't know. let's see. Titus O'Neil. We got Titus O'Neil in the news, and he's not on a pre-show this time. Titus O'Neil recently spoke about being an athlete and how he got into the UFC, except he's in WWE. Basically, I'm becoming a wrestler. If you would have told me a few years ago that I would be a WWE superstar today, I would have told you you were a fool. If it wasn't for a very good friend of mine and my neighbor, Dave Bautista, I can assure you I wouldn't be here today. So, Dave Bautista, thank you for wash rags and millions of dollars, I guess.
That's right. I thought that was already leaked on the internet and news at some point, because I read that earlier too. I didn't bother to mention it, and then it actually just occurred to me while you were reading it. I know where I heard it. MVP on Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana kind of mentioned it as a side note of how he got into wrestling. He's just kind of comparing himself to other guys on the roster, and he mentioned that actual anecdote. So that's why I didn't put it in our news, but. You got it. Yeah, it's funny too. The MMA element of it probably makes sense too, because obviously Batista, you know, had his little exploration into that recently too with that obese guy he fought.
Your substitute teacher brethren, Matthew Stryker, has done a recent interview with Jerry Strauss of the Layfield Report, and he comments on how he got his big break into commentary. Quote, one night, Bruce Richard told me that I needed that I'd be needed the next day in Atlanta. This was strange because Bruce never really talked to me. I was a new guy, and Bruce had been contributing to the business for years. I'd always known who he was and liked his work, so it was kind of cool to me. I went to Atlanta and was told that I'd be tried out as a commentator. I'd been doing this for years, since I was 7. I had my own imaginary federation that my G.I. Joe and AWA wrestling figures competed within. I did commentary into a tape recorder. My mother still has the tapes. So that's what I did. Turns out it was Joey Styles' idea, and Joey had the foresight, courage, and belief to bring it up in a meeting once a need opened up on ECW. Now, in all honesty, it was probably agreed upon just to move on to the next bigger problem that needed attention, but either way, I was in. And that lasted a long time, let me tell you. anybody else got anything else to add to our conversation? It's quiet.
Well, it looks like early in the AM of last night, CM Punk tweeted the following.
I know what you're talking about. I saw this tweet.
Yes, and there you have it. I hate wrestling.
Let me give you some. Let me pull up CM Punk's Twitter feed here, because there's more to it than this. And they're like, oh, CM Punk hates wrestling. And why does CM Punk say he hates wrestling? And I'll tell you why CM Punk hates wrestling. Give me a second here. Let me pull it up, and we'll read some of the tweets here. Actually, the tweet that he was referring to is apparently no longer there, but What's with all these kids who follow me telling me to shut up? Unfollow. Your weird attention-seeking negativity will not be rewarded. And then there was, you know, some Cena fan tweeted him something about, like, oh, you fucking suck and blah, 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 and you shut up. And, you know, and that's when Punk posted, and there you have it. He retweeted that, and he posted, there you have it, I hate wrestling. And then the next tweet in his feed is from at Sky Jaden, whose name on Twitter is WWE is awesome 5555, says, at CM Punk, shut up. You don't even care about the company. If you love it so much, why are you being like The Rock? So if you care, come back. So that's basically, you know, CM Punk doesn't necessarily hate wrestling. He just hates idiot marks who tell him to shut up on his own Twitter feed. When they're following him. But apparently whoever wrote the initial tweet that set him off and made him say he hates wrestling must have deleted it.
I'm sure they were getting trolled quite a bit back for it. So.
Oh, probably. I mean, you know. But yeah, Punk was at the Blackhawks game yesterday. He got to see them defeat the Red Wings, stay alive for another game. I know this because he tweeted, hashtag Blackhawks! So, I guess that's it. We don't really have much more to talk about. The show is very quiet without George. You ever notice that? It's much more professional. we actually get done on time.
Well, and Brian, too. Brian also tends to talk, too. Yes. We hate that, Brian, if you're listening. But
yeah. Well, you know, it's... it's cool. We're good. I guess we're done. I guess we'll see you next week right here on Ustream. I am at Think So Joe, at G of the Internet, at Random Redhead. Follow at Punish78, at Reitman1, at Bird Wrestling Fan. That's Bird Wrestling Fan without vowels on Twitter. Facebook.com/Bird Wrestling Fan. Facebook.com/Think So Joe. Facebook.com/George on Bass. And we will see you guys next week right here on Ustream. Download the Ustream app. Watch us live every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Cock Talk. All on BoardWrestlingFan.com.
Jeez, that was a long enough outro. G's got to get smoking some crack.
It's the Canadian way. Want a blowjob?